So in this, just this three-week series that I'm preaching, started last week, we'll finish next week, we've been considering the authority of Jesus and his power and what that then means for any one of us. What is the right response when you come face to face with this Jesus who sends out the 72 in his name and the demons do submit to that name? What is the right response to Jesus when he is risen? He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples." But what's the right response to Jesus when it's difficult? And stay is the call on Timothy's life. He's sent to stay. So he can teach clearly what we hear in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. You're going to hear this multiple times. I'm making no apologies. I think it is the key verse. It's going to be my key verse. And here's why. Paul said to Timothy then, and he keeps saying to us now, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Let's pray. Please join me. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that you sent your Son, Jesus, into this world to be its Saviour. Because we needed it then and we need it now, because we are sinners. We can't get up to your perfect standard. Please help us to see Jesus clearly now, to believe him, and to understand our place in his mission and ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. My first point is stay. So Timothy's told to do this twice. I really find it quite striking. Have a look, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer." Paul says, "Remember, I told you once. Now I'm telling you a second time, but I'm writing it down, so I'm going to keep telling you. This is now on permanent repeat, so much so that people of our day keep hearing it." But I find it quite striking because it means that even a trained missionary, a trained evangelist, a preacher like Timothy, someone whose grandmother knew the scriptures well, his mother knew the scriptures well, he had become a follower of Jesus himself, had accompanied Paul now for at least a couple of years through the thick and the thin of mission and evangelism, this guy still needs reminding of the necessity of gospel ministry, that he's got to stay there. So it's like saying, I think, to someone like Sam Kerr, the Australian soccer player, "Play soccer." It's like saying to someone like Kate Blanchett, "Act." And someone like Mr. Beast, "Be an influencer." Now, if you don't know that, you can Google that after the service, right? Mr. Beast. But why is Paul so concerned that the ministry that Timothy is entrusted with should continue? Well, here's why. Because if Timothy goes there and stays there and does what Paul says, it will ensure that the Christians in Ephesus and those not yet trusting Jesus who are outside the church, they will keep hearing the message of verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So the Christians won't be fooled away from that, and they will be rescued from God's judgment for sin. And so why should we be concerned that the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ continue here and in every other place around the world? Well, for exactly the same reason. So what Paul says to Timothy then is also a message for us in our day. Stay because of the good news of the Lord Jesus, even at times when it's difficult. And I think I will remember to say this a little bit later, but I also want to say it now. Just in case you are feeling like the ministry that you're currently involved with is difficult, I'm going to preach a sermon next week that's entitled "Jesus and Leaving," which is all about being okay to finish in the ministry that you're part of. Okay, so my goal this morning is not to make you feel like a prisoner in the service that you're currently doing, but it is to examine again why you would bother staying in a difficult situation. So here's the second point. Why would you do it? Well, we're seeing it in verse 15, because Jesus Christ alone saves sinners. And I just wanted to take a moment to expand a little bit on what this gospel message is, because Paul has given a few mentions of the different angles of that good news in the first two chapters. And so I just want to look at those together to get the full picture and to see how precious it actually is. So have a look at verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says, "To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." You can have the favor of God. You can have the mercy of God. You can have peace with God because of what God the Father has done in conjunction with God the Son, Jesus Christ. How good. But now the opposite is true, that without Jesus, you don't have peace with God. Now have a look at verse 4. So just at the end of verse 4, we hear these words, "God's work, which is by faith." So that word faith is all about trusting or accepting. And in verse 15, we hear all about that. Verse 15, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, full trust, full belief. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." So rebels, transgressors, people who have said to God, "Not your rule, but mine." But what God did to those rebels and those transgressors, to those sinners, is to come and show mercy and call people to accept Jesus and his good news and therefore have life forever with God. So what we're seeing here is that knowing and trusting Jesus is essential to being reconnected with God. And we hear that again reinforced and expanded in verse 15 of chapter 2. Oh, sorry, verse 5 of chapter 2. Have a look. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." So Jesus' life was the sum paid for the release of the hostages from that sentence of death and judgment for sin. Why should Timothy stay there? Why does he have to keep speaking about this? Well, Christ Jesus alone saves sinners. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So the connection that was lost has been repaired in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's one thing to be thinking about this in the context of Ephesus and everything that that city is filled with, and you can read about that in Acts, filled with magic, sorcery, incantations. But Timothy needs to be addressing the Christians in Ephesus. So they need to be reminded of the goodness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ because they're tempted away from it. So gospel ministry, Christian ministry of any type, never takes place in a vacuum. There is no neutral. There are always forces at work, pushing and pulling, and in particular, Satan's forces, which are trying to pull people away from Jesus. And Paul describes some of these things under the umbrella, under the banner of false doctrines. Okay, because you look back again at verse 3. "As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer." And then there are various things that he describes. Myths. So stuff that people just make up. Maybe that also included the old wives' tales that he mentions further down. Maybe it also includes forbidding marriage, because perhaps people were saying the return of Jesus is imminent, or by not being married, you were more pure and therefore more acceptable to God. There's another thing that the Ephesian Christians are getting distracted by. It's endless genealogies. So finding hope in human descent rather than in the God who has descended to humanity. But the net result of this is controversial speculation, to disunity, arguing in the congregation. And then he chucks one other thing in there, the teaching of the law. So some people amongst the Ephesian congregation have been wanting to take on this authority to teach the Old Testament instructions that God gave to Moses and more. But the problem with what they've been doing is they haven't been realizing that the Jewish law leads to a conviction of sin, but it can't take away sin. And Paul himself has experienced this personally. He sums it up in Romans chapter 1, 19 to 25, but just really, really simply, he says, all the law does really is convict the whole world of sin. But now, apart from the law, God has made a righteousness known in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, the law, yeah, it's got a purpose, but it's not to save. Christ has come to save. But here's his concern for what's going on in the Christian church at Ephesus. They're leaving Christ to find life, but as they do so, they're losing everything to get nothing. That's the consequence. And it still does happen in our day. Two things I wanted to share with you. I visited the Jewish synagogue recently, Friday week ago, because after the massacre of Bondi, I've been wanting to understand more the Jewish reality in Australia and in Canberra. And the sense that I got as I sat in the service on the Friday night was that the Jewish people really are very, very happy with kind of understanding themselves as the people of God and really kind of recognizing that everybody else outside them are not. I also remember having an experience with a guy in the GBU group in Florence, the student group in Florence. He was part of a charismatic renewal part of Roman Catholicism. And I often had great conversations with him, but we often wrestled around the fact that it was the church, and by the church, he meant the church that established itself in Rome around about 1000 AD. The church was the interpreter and the proprietor of the Bible. And one night, he'd invited some friends to a dinner that we had, a student dinner, and I overheard one of these guys saying, one of his mates said, "Oh, these evangelicals, they're outside the umbrella, and they're in the rain, but they really do seem to be eating." That's a direct translation of what he said. And what he meant was, yeah, it's really us who are the people of God. And people outside that umbrella, they've got no place. But it's a really important thing for us to note in what Paul is saying to Timothy. He's not preaching Judaism anymore. He's not preaching any particular kind of location or adherence to whatever anymore. He just simply is talking about Jesus Christ. And I reckon if you've been at St. Matthew's for a while, you also have experienced the fact that what we want to be on about here is preaching Christ. We're not promoting the Anglican Church. And in fact, if you're here under Ian Powell's tenure, you would have been forgiven for thinking we were against the Anglican Church. That was our task. But we're not preaching a denomination. We're not preaching a religion. We preach Christ. And that's absolutely because the Apostle Paul and others were rock solid clear that it was the risen Christ who gives life with God, and he's the one that you need to know. So, of course, Paul is going to be saying to Timothy, go there, stay there, but for these reasons. And my next point is this. Paul says, stay there because you've been shown mercy to show mercy. And I'm thinking here of verse 16, but I want us to read Paul's testimony, okay, where he's spelling this out and he's sharing it. Have a look down at verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So when Paul was showing no mercy, literally when he was hunting Christians down, putting them in prison, and perhaps being responsible, or as we know, overseeing Stephen's death, he was shown mercy. When he was operating on the basis of his own conviction, God showed Paul grace, unmerited kindness, mercy. And when Paul encountered the risen Jesus, he realized that radical Judaism was not the way to God. And he saw that the purpose of the incarnation of God's Son, the Messiah, was to save sinners like him. So in that very moment, while he thought he was doing God's will, he realized he was actually going directly against it. But what has he realized that God was doing in that? Well, certainly his own salvation. But secondly, for him to be set up as a billboard for God's grace. Have a look at verse 16. But for that very reason, either being the worst of sinners or someone who now realizes that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. So Paul is now an example. He's exhibit A. He is a billboard for someone who can be taken from being diametrically opposed to the Lord Jesus and someone who is hunting his people down to someone who now is saved by that very Lord Jesus and a promoter. I was thinking back about my experiences with exhibits, and this is one exhibit that I remember. Sarah and I had our honeymoon in the Hyatt Coolum, and in the Hyatt Coolum there's a wellness spa. I remember walking along the corridor past that wellness spa. We didn't have enough money to go to the wellness spa. But there was a Perspex box with a McDonald's cheeseburger in it. It was about 100 years old. Not quite. But the purpose of that was to say, look, there's so much sugar in this thing that it's never going to decompose, right? And so it actually did have the date and the year of its manufacture. I remember that exhibit. But when I think of billboards, three kind of popped up. The Lerida Estate billboard near Lake George, right? I've never been to Lerida Estate, but I've seen that billboard plenty of times. Every billboard for McDonald's between here and Sydney. But also there is a particular billboard. It's just to the north of Liverpool as you drive into Sydney, that reads your Bible, right? That sticks out in my mind. Like I remember that billboard. But what Paul is saying here is that I have been saved. In particular, I have been saved. But I think what he's also saying is this is what happens in the Christian life. We become a billboard for grace. We become a billboard for saying, not me, but Jesus. We become a billboard for saying, not do enough to get to heaven, but what Christ has done for me. We become a billboard for saying grace, not works. And so Paul's life is going to show that, right? Because he's not persecuting the Christians anymore. In fact, he's loving them and he's loving other people. But his preaching of the gospel is going to make that clear as well. So that this exhibit would encourage others in the future to put their own confidence in the same Savior and have eternal life. So here's a simple word of encouragement to you, especially if you feel that you might also fit that category of the worst of sinners and that your sin is so great that it can't be overcome. Well, Paul's still telling out his testimony today to say, guess what? It's really possible because Jesus' blood is more powerful than your sin. And let his testimony actually speak into your life today. But an encouragement about being, I guess, a billboard I came across in the writing of Murray Seifert, who wrote a book called Gumbali of Nukur. Gumbali was an Aboriginal Christian man in the community of Nukur up in Arnhem Land. And Murray Seifert was reflecting on the difference between the Christian missionaries there and then what happened when the government took control of all missions in the late 60s, early 70s. What Murray Seifert reflected on, because the Aboriginal Christians were forced into this situation, he said that the government system could never, ever replicate the long-term, sacrificial, living-in-poverty love that the missionaries showed, because their motivation was an otherworldly motivation. It was the power of Christ in their life. They had been shown mercy to show mercy. That's exactly what they kept doing. The miracle that happened in Paul's life is a miracle that keeps happening in Christian lives and is even happening amongst us. As I know, as so many of you are sacrificially serving in lots of different ways, in lots of different places, because of the mercy that you've been shown in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So here's some strong words of encouragement just in my final point. Fight, hold, stay. Let's read together just the last verses of 1 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 18. Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that, by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Fight. Not with human strength, but with grace, with God's power. Hold on to faith. That is, trust in Christ, not in yourself. Stay. Give yourself fully to it. Expend yourself for the sake of others, being saved by grace through faith in Christ. So it begs the question for Timothy then, doesn't it? But also for the question for us now, what did you expect? What did you expect as a follower of Christ? But in particular, because we're talking about Timothy, who is charged with the responsibility of being a senior leader in that context, what did he expect it was going to be like? And Paul is just completely realistic with him, which is so refreshing. But who's going to stick their hand up for this job, if this is the job description? But there's a better reason, isn't there, to step in. There's a bigger reason, actually, to press on. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and others. So just a couple of things to reflect on. First thing, what are we actually believing? Because Paul is really, really clear on Jesus. He's really, really clear on trusting Christ. So our first port of call just really needs to be to check in with ourselves on the basis of what we're being taught here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Is Christianity all about Christ Jesus who came into the world to save sinners? Is that what it's about for you? Is that what it's about for me? Is it about his mercy and grace? Or is it about something else? Because remember, Paul saying to Timothy, Christians will always have the tendency to shoot off in all sorts of marginal, fractional directions. But what happens with something that's very, very tiny to begin with, it ends up a long way away. And so for each of us, we just need to check in. What is it that we're actually believing? Is it that gospel? Secondly, is grace in Christ actually my motivation for serving? Because I know when I go through the kind of the ups and downs of feeling, yeah, really motivated to serve, and other moments like, no, I feel like I'd like to give it up. I need to check back in with what Paul is actually talking about. Is it actually about God's grace in Christ, or has it been about something else? And so at all times, I need to check back in on grace. Mercy in, mercy out. Love in, love out. Service in, service out. Christ in, Christ out, or is it something else? And these are good things to check in on. And those more difficult moments when we're each finding it hard to persevere, we need to ensure that grace in Christ is our motivation. And finally, is it the gospel of Jesus Christ that we're teaching? So this applies across the board, no matter where you're serving, with the kids, with youth, with adults. Is this gospel the thing that you're passing on? And it's quite easy to do, actually, because all you need to do is read the Bible. But sometimes we become experts on all sorts of different things, but we're just kind of spouting off. And stuff ends up in the category of myth. But it's your myth. And funnily enough, people start to believe it. But we just need to check in that that's not the case and that we are teaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the end of the bus trip that day in Florence and that conversation was a resolve, actually, to say that as long as it depends on us, with God's help, we will keep turning up at the beginning of the National Staff Conference and stay through to the end, no matter if we're the only ones who are there at the start and the finish. We'll keep the Bible open. We'll really make sure that it is about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will keep showing mercy because we've been shown mercy, and we want to keep preaching that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners so that students and Italy more broadly would come to know this Jesus. And by God's grace, so much stuff happened in the almost 11 years that we were there to turn that whole thing around. And so I just want to encourage you to stay and promote Christ where you are here, but also where God takes you into the community each week. We want to pray for our missionaries whom we've sent, but also we want to keep staying in mind in light of what's going to be preached next week. So come back and hear next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for saving the Apostle Paul. Thanks for advertising in his life that no one is beyond your reach. Thank you that you moved him from being a persecutor of Jesus to being a promoter of Christ, saved. Please help us to trust Jesus too, Father, and persevere, not only in believing, but also in showing Jesus off in our lives. Help us to be the billboards of your grace in Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.